Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Interesting how four old age pensioners running around a field in Somerset singing this song, joined by 120,000 other people singing this song. And it kind of fascinated me that that song's over 40 years old and they can't find the answer. I believe Jesus wants to remind us today that he is the answer to that song, but also is a writer of a new song. And this message comes as part of our kind of series where we're looking at Jesus's. And last week, I think Pastor Clive spoke about Jesus is the... Okay, two of you were here. Anybody else here last week? Jesus is the builder. Not Bob the builder, but Jesus is the builder. Can we fix it? Yes, he can. And today I want to kind of just drill down a little bit on one of the aspects of knowing that Jesus is our builder. And through the message, Pastor Clive was referring to a famous bit of the Bible where Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" You know, some people say, "You're this, you're that, you're the other." And one ex-fisherman stands up and says, "Well, actually, I know who you are. And you are the Son of God. You are special. You're different. You've been empowered by God's power. And I recognize that and I see that, not just as a person of power, but you are God himself in human form." That's how many of you know you can't get that off the back of your cereal packet? That's got to be something that is inspired by God. And Jesus said, "Actually, because you see me in the right way, I'm going to build on that kind of lifestyle." And last week's message was about how people can be built up in the Jesus that they know. Who said yes? Excellent. Chad, great you're in the room. Mrs. Chad, great to see you too. And I wanted to kind of follow on from that message a little bit and ask this question, which is summed up with this song. "I Can't Get No Satisfaction" is a song of the past, and it's a song that is dated, and it's a song without knowing who Jesus is. Just the day after Glastonbury last week at the British Grand Prix, which I didn't see all of it because I was just driving back from a weekend away in a church. But there was at least one moment, I suspect, where Lewis Hamilton, who is one of our British drivers, you might not have heard of him. He's a good guy, comes from Stevenage. So something good does come from Stevenage. Thank you, Jesus. And while he was travelling at about 105 miles an hour, his tyre exploded. Which is interesting. I suspect at that time he wasn't singing something like that either. I suspect he was a bit miserable. "I can't get any satisfaction from my tyres." Then about two or three laps later, one of them was actually at almost 200 miles an hour. I think it was a French guy. His Pirelli also exploded. And I imagine he was not full of the joy of Jesus either at that time. He probably was wondering about not just when his next £1 million a month pay packet would come from, but would he survive the journey? He probably was singing, "I can't get no satisfaction either." Interestingly, 2 days earlier, I just put a set of brand new Pirellis on my car. Yeah, they're called P0s. I don't know what that stands for. Hopefully it doesn't mean... Yes. Hopefully it's not descriptive of how many miles I'm going to get out of them. But I found myself not singing that song. Because I've realised that there is a new songwriter and a new song and a new lot of words, and it is "Jesus is my satisfaction." Yeah. And then I just want to remind a few people, particularly if you're from Australia... Most of you have worked out where we're going. But the British Lions, rawr, managed to win a game of rugby outside of Twickenham, which is quite extraordinary. For the first time in many, many years, we managed to beat up the Australians on the rugby pitch and get a prize as a result. And I can guarantee that there was nowhere in Australia near any billabong whatsoever. They were all singing, "We can't get no satisfaction." I can just tell, with their best hats with corks on and their best didgeridoos, that's what they were singing. Because we whooped them at the British Lions tour. I imagine this afternoon, there may be some Murray mints sitting on Henman Hill or whatever it's called, Robson's Green, or whatever it's called. I have no idea what they call it now. Murray's Mount of your very New Testament. I thought it was Henman's Hill. But anyway, a piece of grass in London, and several millions of people watching two guys hitting a little ball backwards and forwards for a couple of hours. One of those people is going to join their song. And it may be that several millions of their fan club are going to join that song, "We Can't Get No Satisfaction." Let me just remind everybody here that at Faith Camp, you will not hear that song being sung at all. You just won't. It's not in the playlist. The young people won't be singing it. The old people won't be singing it. People visiting, it's not the words of our song. Because I want to just dig down that Jesus is not just my satisfaction going in the future. It also satisfies me in my soul. It satisfies me in my mind. And it certainly satisfied me in my body. I want to just dig into the word a little bit on how Jesus has managed to do that and why Jesus wants to continue to do that from today. So through technology, through Andrew, we're going to see some scriptures appear on the screen. Not by magic. Okay. Just before we get the first one up, which is Colossians 1, so Andrew can get ready. I looked up the word satisfaction in the dictionary. I thought, okay, what is satisfaction? What does it mean? And there are seven general meanings of the word satisfaction. I'm sitting down only for your benefit, okay? Because normally when I'm speaking, I run around a lot. I don't want to make you feel hot. I want you to make you feel cool and chilled out and relaxed. Is that all right? But when I get excited, I will stand up. And when I stand up, you'll need to get ready for something. I'm just letting you know now, okay? So we're gonna kind of bring this message part of this time together by about 1:45. Then I'm going to stand up and something's going to happen. Because I know that happens, all right? So in this dictionary, there are seven meanings of the word satisfaction. The first one is, very obvious, it's an act of fulfillment or gratification. Second one, it's the state of or the condition of contentment. Thirdly, it's the cause or it's the means of being satisfied. Fourth meaning of the word satisfaction is that it's a confident acceptance on something that's satisfactory, dependable and true. The fifth meaning is it's reparation or compensation for a wrongness or an injustice. Sixth meaning is it's an opportunity to redress or right a wrong as by a duel. Now, I'm not suggesting we visit this one right now, that we draw guns at 6 o'clock, you know, paces, walk, turn around, shoot. But this talks about someone that's opposed you or criticised your character and you satisfy your character by proving that you are a greater character than your opponent. Whether it's a sword, or whether it's a gun, or whether it's just an argument over the fence. Are you with me? I can't see you very well. There is somebody here, is there? Excellent. The seventh meaning for satisfaction is as a payment, or as a discharge, as a debt of obligation. In other words, there's an outstanding debt, and someone comes and pays that full debt and their satisfaction. Can I suggest that Jesus, although he wasn't around when this dictionary was written, inspired it? Because every single descriptive word of this noun satisfaction, Jesus has already satisfied. He has actually become the act of satisfaction. He's already become the debt payer. He's actually become the redeemer. He's actually become the restorer. He actually is now the repairer. He already is the one who buys back and brings back those things which were held captive back into freedom. He has already become the catalyst of satisfaction for humanity. Now, as far as I know, he never ever in his entire life, when he was on earth, sang that song. Never can I find an endless stories about Jesus, which you can find in the Bible, do I hear even Jesus speaking those words. I can't get no satisfaction. Every time I read the Bible, every time I hear about what Jesus said or what Jesus did, it was because he was satisfying others and he became the satisfaction to thousands, millions of people. I think that's incredible. This first scripture, which is Colossians 1:28, comes from the Truth version. I'll just read it. You can read it as well if you want to. This is why I'm sitting here this morning. This is why we sit with you or stand with you every morning. This is why we come together as church, whether it's on a Sunday or during the week. This is why we speak only of Christ, encouraging, correcting, and teaching everyone with the wisdom he's given us, so that we can present everyone perfect or satisfied or complete or whole in Christ, because they believe the gospel we proclaim. What a wonderful prospect. What a wonderful prospect. Second scripture, which is in Colossians 2, just a little bit further in the Bible, verse 9, it says this: for in him, and the Bible here is talking specifically about Jesus himself, the complete revelation of who God is has come to us in human form. In Christ, you have been given the fullness of his life, and he is supreme above every power and authority. Because you live in him, you have received spiritual circumcision. Thank God, it's spiritual. And not one done by men, but by Christ himself. Now, this has been in the Bible for a long time. You might have a Bible, you might not have a Bible. But this is just really describing in black and white, in words, that Jesus has come to cut us off from the song. That Jesus has come and lived so that we don't have to live with a sense of, I can't get no satisfaction. Jesus has come into your life and into my life as the satisfier, as the one who brings wholeness, completeness in our day-to-day. That is incredibly awesome. As I was kind of preparing for this about a week or so ago, I came over a survey. And this is a real survey. It was done with thousands and thousands and thousands of people involved in this survey in the spring of this year. And they asked a question. And I'm going to kind of put the question out to you people. I've asked these questions myself time and time again. But the question was, what are the things that make us the most happy in life? Or what are the aspects of life which cause us to be unhappy with what we have and unhappy for the future? Is that okay? And how many of you would like to know what the top 8 answers were? Nobody. Come back next, no, okay, come to Crawley next week. I'm preaching at Crawley next week I think it's at 10. No, it's not, it's at 10:30. But for Phil, because Phil put his hand up, I'll tell you. First one, and you might relate to some of these, you might identify with a few of these, you might be some of these, all right? But these are the top 8 reasons why people are unhappy and why they just felt life was difficult. First one is, I don't have the money to do this. I don't have the money to do this. Now, I don't know how much money Mick Jagger has. I know he's got a really nice sequin green jacket, which I'd love to inherit from him. But what I do know is, while he's still singing the song, it must be real to him somewhere. What I do know is that after touring, doing concerts, records, CDs, MP3s, all kinds of stuff, in his heart, there is a poverty. I know that's true for some of these other guys that I've mentioned, somebody like the Lewis Hamilton, somebody like some of these other characters that you would know. Wealth does not make you happy, and wealth cannot satisfy your soul like Jesus can satisfy your soul. But this was the first reason why people are unhappy in life, and they feel that they just can't change anything in the future. The second one was this: I'm not ready to do the work required to change. I like to sing the song, but I'm not prepared to change the words by changing my life a little bit. Maybe it's too difficult. Maybe I don't have the opportunity. Maybe I'm just not that kind of person. I have no idea. All I know is there are thousands of people where this is making them sing the song. I can't get no satisfaction. Thirdly, I'm afraid of what I don't know. If I change something, if I invest some time, if I get some training, if I change my language, if I change some of my behavior, I don't know who I'm going to be, and I don't know what that's going to lead to, and do I really want that? Am I happy to use this phrase? It's better the devil you know than the devil you don't. That's almost like singing the song, I can't get no satisfaction. But there's the third reason why a lot of people just don't feel happy, is that I'm afraid of change. Fourth one, what if it doesn't work? I can change my haircut, I can change my style, my fashion, I can change my language a little bit, I can start changing my friendship groups a little bit, I can start making some friends, etc. Whatever is relevant to us. But this underlying question that these people answered was, what if it doesn't work? Might be some of you in the room that are going through some of these questions right now because you just can't get no satisfaction. I really have no idea. All I know is that God's got you here this morning to give you an alternative song. The fifth reason, what would people say if I did this, if I made changes, if I looked a bit sparky, if I looked a little bit more contemporary, if I changed the language, if I changed my habits, if I changed my interest. In other words, if I changed me, what would people say? Would they love me? Would they hate me? Would they accept me? Would they reject me? Would I do better in life? Would I do worse in life? I have no idea. All I know is that there was this question that people were saying, what would people say? I want to change. I want to be different. I want to be happy. But what would people say? Sixth question, or the sixth comment rather, is my family need me to keep doing this job that I hate doing? Now, I'm blessed, because actually I don't feel as if I'm at a job at all. I'm not at work. I just love doing what I'm doing. I'm just weird. We know that. I'm weird because I'm satisfied whether I preach or whether I don't, whether I lead a prayer meeting or whether I'm just follow one, whether I witness for Christ or whether somebody witnesses to me, I really don't mind. Whether I have loads of money in the bank, whether I have nothing, I found that there's a satisfying source and flow which has got nothing to do with you. I'm struggling sitting down because I want to stand up, but it's not quite time yet. But you'll see my legs are moving around, right? The bottom half of me is already up. The top half needs to catch up. But I'll get there. But the question is this. Do I really love what I'm doing right now? Only you will know the answer to that. What I mean by that is it my passion? Does it captivate my heart? Does it captivate my mind? Does it captivate my time? Because those things are the things that we do love. But Jesus came to take all of those things and change them. He is our life. If you know Christ, He has become your life, the Bible says. We've read it. He is in us. We've read that too. He is our satisfaction. Hopefully we're beginning to understand that a little bit more. Seventh reason is at the end of the day, I don't really believe it's going to work. Now that's language that the world would use. It's a language that maybe we would use. But if I can just use this word, I just don't believe God can change it. Because I think most people in the room already know Jesus and have already received Jesus. So I'm just assuming that we can change that word. I just don't know whether my confidence is big enough to see these changes made. Can I just suggest that our confidence, if it's on us, the answer to that is you'll never see it change. Which is why Jesus becomes our changer. He becomes our source of change. He becomes our confidence and our competence. Jesus becomes our agent of transformation. It's not about me changing me. It's about the source of life changing me. So that I don't have to sing the song. I can't get no satisfaction. And then the last point on this survey. It's just me. This is who I am. I can't change it. Don't have the power to. Don't even want to. I have somehow, whether I've done it through circumstances, or whether I've just done it through choice, or whether I've done it because of others' choice, I have no idea. But my life has just become a rut. And a rut is just a long grave. Somehow it's just samey, every day. Let me just tell you that Jesus came to change and break into our mundane days. To make every day count. Every day I decide the day I'm having before the day decides for me. Every day I made a decision. Jesus, this day is yours. Forget what I call it. What are you going to call it? Forget what I'm doing today. What do you want to do today? There is no day. And I've just retweeted this. There is no day of the week called someday. Someday. My life will change. I can't sing as well as Andy Helms, but I'm better looking. Someday. Thanks. Who laughed? That was really kind. Oh, you're a student. You have to. Okay. There isn't a day of the week called someday. Someday I'll change. Someday I'll make some personal adjustments. Someday I'll pray. Someday I'll get to know Jesus. Someday I'll just let Jesus live through me. Someday is not a weekday. Someday is a never day. But Jesus came, and he's here today as the antidote. The antidote of the song, the antidote of the words, the antidote of the melody, the antidote to the tune. Jesus doesn't want you or me to sing the same old song for another 45 years, particularly when it's so totally wrong. I'm going to stand up. I hope you're getting ready. Get in. I can't help it. Because Jesus satisfies your spirit. He'll satisfy your mind. He'll satisfy your body. He'll satisfy your now and your future. He'll satisfy your longings. He'll satisfy your ambitions. He'll satisfy your desires because Jesus was designed to. He was made to. He's the only one that can. He'll satisfy your value system. He will satisfy your desires to be and do because he is your be and do. How does he do this? I want to read just one scripture. It's not going to come up on the screen. If you can find it with me, you can. If you're able to do that. If not, just read it. It's a famous story of a real event that happened in a real time in history of when Jesus was baptized. I'm going to read from the NIV because that's what I've got up on here. And it's from Matthew 3. It says, Jesus came from the Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. What does that mean? Means Jesus was on a journey from somewhere to somewhere else. But something was about to happen on this journey. It was going to transform him and transform us. I need to be baptized by you, he said to John. Why do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be done right now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And John agreed. Jesus wants to satisfy you and me, even though we don't deserve it. Even though we shouldn't receive it. Even though we've done nothing to deserve it. Jesus has chosen who he's chosen, and he's chosen what he's chosen, and it's sitting on your seat. Jesus wants to be our satisfaction. He wants to be our life ambition. He wants to be our goal and the one who scores the goal. Jesus is our satisfier. In all good things, he satisfies us. He satisfies all who believe in him with good things. As soon as Jesus was baptized, and if you're a Christian, if you know Jesus and you have a relationship with him and you've been baptized in water, the Bible says that we've also been baptized with Christ. So this is like we're experiencing this that Jesus experienced then. Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. That's our opportunity to be satisfied on the inside. There's a door open in heaven, between heaven and you, between heaven and me, and through that there's a flow of life. And that heaven door is open right now over your life, over your household, over your need, over your longing, over your lacking, over your desperation. Open heaven is over you right now. It's not a theory, it's not mythology, it's not just over in a certain town or place. It's because Jesus came up. It's because Jesus came up. At that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and changed Jesus. Changed him. How did it change him? A couple of reasons, a couple of facts. Firstly, a voice came from heaven. When we're going through dry and dusty land and when we're going through a sun-scorched time of our period, it's great to know that God speaks. And as we invite some of you forward in a moment, God's going to speak to you in a brand new, fresh, life-giving way. Thanks for that. All of you that respond, in the next 10 minutes, between now and 1 minute to one, you will hear the voice of the Lord in a very clear, very fresh, very reviving way, maybe for the first time. Because that's what happens, because that's part of how Jesus satisfies us. He speaks to us. He's with us. Hallelujah. What does he say? This is my son. Jesus wants to reinforce to you and to me, we belong to God. We don't belong to our history. We don't belong to our future. We don't belong to our vain ambition. We don't belong to our lack or longing. We belong to Christ. Very satisfying to know that we belong to God. Hallelujah. I think that's brilliant. I don't belong to my salary or my income tax. I don't belong to any mortgage. I don't belong to any debt. I belong to Jesus. And he satisfies the inner parts more than Carlsberg can ever do, let me tell you. Amen. And I've tried it. This is my son whom I love. This love, which is unquenchable, indestructible, bubbles up through the hardest heartache, bubbles up through the strongest strongness. I've just made up another word, praise the Lord. But this love just will not let go of us. That satisfies our hearts. And then this one, and I just describe this in just a moment, what this means. With him, I am well pleased. And as I said this morning, it doesn't mean that God comes from Essex when he says well pleased. It's just a translation. But what this means is pretty much everything that you buy, sit in, use, drive, including your chairs, have a kite mark on them. And that kite mark says, this product is safe. It's safe for the purpose it was intended for. Check it out on your windscreen of your car. You'll see a little kite mark with a BS number on it or something. What the Holy Spirit does, who the Holy Spirit is he says, I approve of you. I'm satisfied. I can use you. I can flow through you. I can change you. I can transform you. I can use gifts through you. I can bring fruitful life and ministry through you. The Holy Spirit's presence on our lives says, I could satisfy you. That's why in the next 3 minutes, we're going to pray for people and they will receive the Holy Spirit in a new way. But what will they receive? That reminder that Jesus is our satisfaction. That we don't need to sing the song. In Psalm 91, says, he will call on me and I will answer him. He will be with me I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 90, it says, satisfy us in the morning, which we can kind of sneak in, with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us, for as many days we've seen trouble. Every day that you've had trouble, God is going to give you much more days of celebration in exchange. Then Isaiah 58, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy our needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen our frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like spring whose waters never fail. Only Jesus can satisfy our humanity. Only Jesus can satisfy our barrenness and our dryness, which is why only Jesus did. How did he do that? Through relationship and through giving of the Holy Spirit. If you've received the Holy Spirit, then you have received the satisfier. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you can. If you haven't received Jesus personally as your Savior, as your friend, as the one who can satisfy you from now onwards, you can. In the next couple of minutes, you can take the next step of your journey to know who Jesus is for you. He wants to satisfy you. He wants to transform your days. So let's all stand up. Let's just close our eyes. It all goes dark, but that's fine. Because there might be one, even if there's only one. And you've just come in because you thought it was hot outside, it's cool in here. That was the first mistake. And maybe you've come in and sat in your seat in your room and you found there's already somebody there waiting for you. His name is Jesus. And maybe you felt a bit uncomfortable during this last hour or so. Well, that's Jesus speaking to you saying, get to know me. Find out more about me. Find out what they're singing about and why. Maybe just in this last 30 minutes that I've been speaking, you've been sitting there thinking, oh, this is right for everybody else, but is it true for me? Well, make it true for you. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He wants to make it true for you. You can't make it true for yourself. We have to put our faith in Jesus and he'll make it true for us. So it might be that there's just one or two here. Now, if you want to know more about Jesus, more about being a Christian, more about living for God and for others, I would love to take a couple of minutes at the end of this and just chat with you. And there'll be a few other guys up here with me. We'd love to chat with you. However, if you already know Christ and you just sense, I don't know, I just feel a bit dried up, a bit worn out, a bit what, just I'm not satisfied, you need to come out the front really quickly because we're going to pray for you and the Holy Spirit is going to move upon you and satisfy you in a new and a fresh way. Just move right now. Whether you're a male, female, there can be 10, there can be 100, it doesn't matter. We just want you to know that Jesus thinks you're all right. He's your satisfier today. He's your approver today. And let me tell you, God knows about approval. He made all kinds of things, but he only said to one part of his creation, that's brilliant, and he said that about you. He made the heavens and the earth and the seas and the stars and the mountains and the quacky ducks and the moose and everything. And he said, yeah, that's okay. But when he made you, he said, that's very good. That's very good. And I'd love some, if we've got any life group leaders here, I'd love you to come out and help me. If you're a life group leader, just move out of your seat and come and just begin to have a conversation with these guys. If you know who they are, great, use their name and pray with them. If you don't know who they are, introduce yourself, be nice, be friendly, and let's pray for them. Diane, you can come and join us, that'd be great. Karen, Phil, if you can come and join us. If there's a couple of ladies here, if we have any other leaders around, that's cool. Because the Holy Spirit is going to come and satisfy some things in the next few minutes. If you're standing, then please don't stand and just watch, okay? We want to see the Holy Spirit do something, so can I encourage you just to raise your hands and just pray, reach out towards these people and just pray for them. In that, you can maybe pray for yourself as well. Maybe you should have come, but you didn't feel bold enough. Well, let the Holy Spirit satisfy you right where you are. Right where you are. At the earliest service, At 9:30, people were really weeping and crying, and all kinds of liberties were coming in their life. And the Holy Spirit was revealing himself in a new way and setting people free. It was an awesome time, and God's going to do the same now. Thank you, Lord. So let's just pray all together, shall we? Just bless these people as we pray for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We've got time to do this. It's a couple of minutes to yet, and we've got time just after one, so it's fine. Let's roll with this, people. This is really important to stay and see God do this, right? Hello, people in the room, talking to you. This is really good to see God just blessing people and satisfying people, touching people's lives. This is great. This is so exciting part of being part of the church. I love it.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.